Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Once again, we have a verse of Scripture that has more than one sentence in it, and so we will consider each sentence separately. So today, recompense to no man evil for evil. I'm going to relate this to another phrase in Scripture that is very familiar to us. Turn the other cheek. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this very specific admonition to us as your people. I pray that you will help us to understand what you mean by this so that we can apply it to our lives. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever climbed the MIF tree? The MIF tree is a tree people climb whenever they have a fit of ill humor because they have been offended. While up in the MIF tree, you might say something like this. Well, if that is what you think, let me tell you a thing or two. Ever heard something like that? Or how about, well, if you're going to act like that, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Or maybe I'll show you, you can't get away with that. There's something about the competitive spirit in the human heart. We just can't let other people get the upper hand. We can't let other people have the last word. There's a quote-unquote joke that floats around that says, "Oh, I don't pay back, I just get even." Ever hear somebody say that? Sadly, this is all too true of human nature. So God says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. The word recompense means to pay back, to give an equivalent kind. God says we're not supposed to do this. We're not supposed to pay back evil for evil. We are not even supposed to get even. For over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 39, and we're going to spend a little time looking at that, Jesus said, "I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Now, I want you to understand this statement that Jesus gives us, turn the other cheek, in no way suggests we are not to defend ourselves when placed in danger. Nor does it suggest we should not join the military. When does the principle of turning the other cheek apply? That's what we want to observe this morning. Would you go back to Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17? Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17. "And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. Now in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38, Jesus says, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you." I do not believe Jesus is nullifying Leviticus chapter 24 by principle. And here's the point that I want to make. To understand what Jesus said, to understand how the recompensing to no man evil for evil applies, we must distinguish between criminal behavior and personal offense. Catch those two terms? Criminal behavior versus personal offense. I want to talk to you about criminal behavior for a while before we get to the other part. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is in verse 19, 20 verses later, he says, instead of eye for an eye, turn the other cheek. Is he contradicting himself? Because what is one of the commandments? Leviticus chapter 24, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Isn't that one of the commandments? Oh, you say, well, I thought there were only 10 commandments. No, there are actually 613 commandments. Ask the Jews. They've counted them. Somewhere in my files down in those filing cabinets, I have a copy of all 613 delineated. And Jesus says one of these least commandments. You know, we're not talking about one of the Ten Commandments. We're talking about one of the other commandments. To say that we are under grace and not under the law does not excuse us from obeying the principles of righteousness contained in the law. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Would you agree we're under grace and not under law? Scripture says we're under grace, not under law. Does that mean then that I can steal? Oh, but that's one of the laws. Not under the law. The law says thou shalt not steal. But I'm not under the law. So I can steal, right? No. Because contained in the law are righteous principles. We don't obey the law in order to obtain God's favor. That's not our objective. We fulfill the righteousness of the law because we can, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 and 39, what I believe Jesus is saying is, I want you to understand the difference between an eye for an eye and turning the other cheek. Because there's been, in Jesus' day, a misapplication of that law. You know, you use eye for an eye as an excuse for all kinds of things. But criminal behavior requires justice. Leviticus 24, verse 17, he that killeth any man shall be put to death. That's murder, is it? Is it not murder? And there is to be punishment for murder equal to the crime. Verse 18, he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. Intentional destruction of property requires punishment equal to the crime. And if any man cause a blemish in his neighbor as he hath done, so shall it be done unto him, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done unto him. This is a result of criminal behavior. When you injure someone, there is to be punishment equal to the crime. That's the point of eye for an eye. Punishment equal to the crime. There have been many incidents lately in which people are committing crimes and there is almost no punishment. When a new Illinois law takes effect next year, they've already passed it. It will do away with the cash bail system in the state, meaning suspects charged with felonies, including second-degree murder, aggravated battery, and arson, will be released from jail without bail. A career criminal in New York was indicted on February the 2nd. He murdered a 64-year-old man by beating him to death. Only a month and a half later, on March the 10th, he was released on his own recognizance. A Seattle judge released an accused shoplifter without bail for the second time, despite his extensive criminal history, including at least 18 felony and misdemeanor convictions. This is not punishment equal to the crime. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. We're talking about false accusations, wanting someone to be punished by the law when they are entirely innocent. And so the point is, if this person is found out to have made this false accusation, then he should receive the punishment he was hoping this other person would get. And then watch what it says in verse 19. Then ye shall do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. If you would do that, What effect would that have on criminal behavior? Verse 20, and those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. You hear what the penalty is for committing a crime, and it's severe. You think twice about doing it yourself. And this isn't political, this is biblical. If the biblical principle of justice was actually applied today, what effect would that have on crime? If you cause a personal injury to someone, like breaking their arm during a criminal act, if as part of your punishment they broke your arm, do you think other people would think twice about committing that crime? Or if you punched out someone else's eye and as punishment they punched out your eye, do you think other people would think twice about punching out people's eyes? That's the point. Now, criminal behavior can take three different forms. One is civil matters that are crimes against the state. Would you go to Romans chapter 13? Romans chapter 13. And verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power of God, the powers that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Does that sound like turning the other cheek? No. Well, why? Because this is criminal behavior. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Does that sound like turning the other cheek? It does not, because this is criminal behavior. Well, then why are so many people committing crimes today? Because they don't fear the government. They are supposed to be afraid, verse 4. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. Be afraid of the government. That's a deterrent to crime. But the government has shown that they aren't going to punish criminals. So there's no incentive to stop committing crimes. Secondly, a form of criminal behavior that may not necessarily be punished by the government, but should be by the church, is a violation of God's moral laws. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. He says in this chapter, verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. There is to be a consequence in the church for violating God's moral laws. Now, fornication is violation of God's moral laws outside of marriage. How do we know that? Because over in chapter 7 and verse 2, it tells us that the one way you can avoid fornication is by getting married. There you go. It says, chapter 7, verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Once you are married, violation of the marriage covenant, then in the Bible is defined by, what's the word? Adultery. Remember the commandment, thou shalt not commit. Are we afraid to say that word these days? We don't hear fornication and adultery much, do we? But there are God's moral laws regarding these things, and we are to put people out of the fellowship of the church if they are guilty of these things. We're not talking about every private incident in your personal life that nobody else knows about. That's something you have to deal with personally. But we're talking about public issues. It is reported commonly that there is among you. Everybody knows about it. Then you deal with it. And the third thing is the violation of God's spiritual laws. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and do what? Avoid them. There is to be a consequence for false doctrine. Titus chapter 3, verse 10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. In none of these situations, none of these three situations, is there the turning of the other cheek. The government is not to turn the other cheek when its citizens break the law. The church is not to turn the other cheek when its members violate God's moral laws or violate God's spiritual laws. So then, what does it mean to turn the other cheek? Romans chapter 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Let me suggest some scenarios. If someone calls you a name that offends you, has that ever happened to any of you? Any of you ever been called a nasty name that offended you? If that hasn't happened in your life, you're blessed. But if somebody calls you a nasty name, what do you feel like doing? Calling them a nasty name? That would be recompensing evil for evil. If someone offends you by criticizing you, have you ever been criticized in your life? God says, do not retaliate by criticizing them. How about this one? It's fall. The leaves are going to start falling. What if your neighbor raked all of his leaves onto your yard? Would you rake them right back? Or would you dispose of them with your own leaves? we diffuse a potentially heated situation by turning the other cheek when we are personally offended. When someone calls us a nasty name and offends us, we diffuse the situation by saying something nice in return. When someone criticizes us, we diffuse the situation by complimenting them on something in return. When our neighbor rakes all his leaves onto our yard, we diffuse the situation by raking them up with ours and disposing of all of them. What effect would it have on your neighbor if he intended to be nasty to you by raking all of his leaves onto your yard and you didn't say a word, didn't get angry, you just bag them up or rake them out to the street where they pick them up or whatever you do with your leaves, you just took care of all of them. What effect would that have on your neighbor? Think it would make an impression? Personal offense should always be followed by positive action on the part of the offended. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 20. We're not talking about criminal behavior. We're talking about personal offense. Just between you and one other person, personal offense. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. But what are you supposed to do? Wait on the Lord. Do you think God has a solution for this situation, for this relationship? Before you do anything in reacting to a personal offense, wait on the Lord. He just might have a way of taking care of this matter without you even doing anything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. Chapter 5, verse 15. Here we are. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. Somebody does something bad to you, your response should be something good. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Personal offense should always be followed by a positive action on the part of the offended. And then, when you do act, do even more than is expected. Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. This is not an argument against self-defense. Matthew chapter 24, verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. The point of this verse, turning the other cheek, is a demonstration that you refuse to stoop to the level of someone who is simply being nasty. Not going to stoop to that level. If someone offends you, you will not react by offending them. But then look in verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Wow. Do more. Verse 41, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Wow. Do more. Back in those times, there were couriers that carried government documents, and they had the legal right to compel anyone who happened to be on the road at the time to carry the burden for them, and they could require that a mile of each individual. And so Jesus says, don't just go a mile, go two. Verse 42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. Do more than is expected, and you never know what positive effect you will have on the other person. A new recruit in the army took up residence in the barracks. He was a Christian, and he loved to talk about Jesus to the other soldiers. They all thought he was a bit loony and made fun of him. One day, just before inspection, the group got together and smeared mud all over the Christian's boots. The next day, while all of the other soldiers enjoyed a day of leave and were in town, the Christian soldier found himself alone in the barracks. And there, all lined up at the end of each bunk, were the boots of all the other soldiers. What was he going to do? He polished them all. Why? Because God believes in visual aids. Remember all the miracles that Jesus did? They served as visual aids to make his points. Sometimes in life, it's good for us to do things to provide a visual aid to people who have not yet plugged into God's righteousness. Turning the other cheek can be expressed in a variety of ways. Giving your cloak when sued for your coat, going 2 miles instead of one, giving and lending to people in need, disposing of your neighbor's leaves when they're raked onto your yard. What a visual aid. When someone invades your personal space or wastes your time or disturbs your comfort, it is easy to want to pay him back. But Jesus says, a little sacrifice, like turning the other cheek, might just be the thing that brings that other person to Christ. Jesus sacrificed a lot for us. Can we sacrifice a little for him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. Help us to see the practical ways this can be applied in our lives. May our lives have a very dynamic impact upon the lives of those who need to see Jesus in us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.